Like many of you who are here this morning, and in fact, I think I could probably say like most of you who are here this morning, I love music. Throughout my life, my musical tastes have expanded, have grown. I love a variety of music. But having said that, the words of John Denver in one of his songs are true of me. I'm a country boy. And because I'm a country boy and because I was raised on a farm, my first love for music was country and western. And I still love country music. I guess my favorite singer is George Strait. And Gail and I had the opportunity to go to several John Denver concerts, and we loved John Denver's music. I like Alan Jackson. And a few weeks ago, when the Oak Ridge Boys were in town, we went to their concert. We like the Oak Ridge Boys, and we like their music. And so, I like country music. It's not just my contemporary to me, country and western singers that I like. I like the old timers as well. I have a picture of one of them for you to see this morning. Some of you will have heard of Hank Snow. Hank Snow has a song that I really enjoy. It's called "I've Been Everywhere." You can listen to him sing this on YouTube. You can go back and see his performance. In fact, I have pulled up Hank Snow singing "I've Been Everywhere" many times, and Gail's not here this morning. I'll say forced her to watch it with me. A couple of things I like about "I've Been Everywhere." He mentions, I counted, 91 places that he has been, to illustrate that "I've been everywhere." When he does it, as you watch him singing, there are no cheat sheet, there's no paper that he's reading from, there's no screen that he's looking at. He just rattles off those places that he has been. And I'm fascinated by his ability to remember all those different places that he mentions. The second thing I really like about that song is he mentions a lot of places that are really familiar to me. And there's something about hearing a familiar place. Let me just give you a sample of I'm not going to read all 91 places that he says he's been, but one section of the song says, "I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla." And he does that about four different times in the song where he names different places that he's been. And that, as I said, he didn't have a little cheat sheet that he could look at. Let me tell you also, I had to mention this, there is a Texas version of "I've Been Everywhere." And in the Texas version, he mentions only Texas towns. And this is one little section of that song. "I've been to Valley Mills, Pine Mills, Dime Box, Duncanville, New Home, New Hope, New Deal, Liberty Hill, Rockport, Rock Creek, Bridgeport, Brownwood, Cleburne, Comanche, Cut and Shoot, Cottonwood, Bayview, Bayside, Baytown, Bay City, Falls City, Center City, Bridge City." Now, I've got to tell you, the reason I included that verse, my wife came in to me as I was preparing this lesson during the week. I was sitting at the kitchen table, and she looked at me across the table and said, "Maybe you can not mention your hometown this week in the sermon." And so I'm glad this morning that I didn't have to mention it. It's in the song, I've Been Everywhere. But that, as I said, it fascinates me that he's able to just speak out all those names from memory. And there is something about hearing familiar names that appeals to us all. I like hearing of places that I have traveled to, or maybe the one in red that means a lot to me. We like to hear familiar names. And if we like to hear about familiar towns, we also like our name, familiar personal names. In fact, Dale Carnegie said this, "A person's name is to him or her the sweetest and most important sound in any language." A person's name. We like to hear our name. The sweetest and most important sound in any language. And so the title of this lesson this morning is Where Everybody Knows Your Name. Where everybody knows your name. Now, some of you will recognize where those words come from. Those words come from a song. Those words are a part of a theme song from the hit TV show that was probably in about the 1980s called Cheers. This was a part of the chorus, Where Everybody Knows Your Name. And Cheers, just for your information, if you're not familiar with it, was a weekly comedy show about a bar in Boston. When I heard the theme song, every time I heard the theme song, I thought those words, the words of that song, are appropriate for the church. More appropriate, I believe, for the church than for a bar. Now, if you haven't heard those words, I want you to hear them now. Where everybody knows your name. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Now there are two places in particular that I think those words are really appropriate. One is the home, and another is church. We had the privilege this weekend of having my daughter, Tally, and her new husband, Matt, come to visit us, and their dog, Tahoe. But when we sat around the table, there was Matt and Tally and Tara and Jaden, and Gail, and me. We knew who was there. We knew each person by name. And we were glad they all came. As I look around this room, and as I think about the families who are here, when you had all your little family together, those of you who sent your kids out into the world, and those of you who still gather around your table at home with your family, you know who to expect to be there. If one of your little children happens not to show up at the table, the question is going to be, well, where's Jaden? Where is he? And he'll be called maybe to the table if he's not there with us. We know each other. And we welcome each other. And I believe that these words are appropriate for the church. We want to be together as a family, as a spiritual family. In the New Testament, there are a couple of indications, a couple of passages I want you to see that I think emphasize how important it was the names of people. For instance, for the Apostle Paul. The first text I want you to see is in Romans chapter 16. Now, I know those words are small, and you may not be able to read specifically every verse, and that was not my intention. My intention was to show you in Romans chapter 16, which is certainly not the meat of the epistle of Romans. It's sort of the final section of Romans where he is basically sending greetings to people that he knows in Rome. And I counted this week and I put the names of the people that he mentions in red. If I counted correctly, they're either 26 or 27. I think the first time I counted, I thought it was 27. Maybe the second time, I thought it was 26. But he in this letter that has been preserved throughout eternity, he mentions the names of people that he wants to specifically send greeting to. And you can start at the top. It's greet Priscilla and Aquila. And then in verse 5, it says Epaminondas, and then Mary, and Andronicus, and Junia. And he just goes all the way down through verse 15, mentioning name after name of people that he wants to specifically send a greeting to. The names of people were important to the Apostle Paul. He wanted to greet them by name. A second passage I want you to see is in Philippians chapter 1. And in Philippians chapter 1, there's not so much the mention of names, but more an expression of the attitude that Paul has about the church at Philippi, which I would assume is an attitude which would be mirrored in all of his attitudes about Colossae and Rome and Corinth and all the different places where he had an opportunity to be involved with the church. But this is what he says specifically to the Philippian Christians. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to express his feelings for these brothers and sisters at Philippi. He says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul loved his brothers and sisters. That translated into knowing them and feeling for them, praying for them. And that's the nature, I believe, of the church. As an elder of this congregation and as the former preacher at Hillcrest, I have a rather simple idea about helping us be the church that we need to be. And to express what that simple idea is, I want to look at one more passage from the Gospel of John. Here is what Jesus says about being a shepherd. He says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Listen to this, the words that I've put in red. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. There is a statement in, you know, what Jesus is saying about the relationship of a shepherd to the sheep. There's a statement here that it indicates familiarity. There's a statement here that indicates connection, a connectedness, a closeness, confidence on the part of the sheep and the shepherd. He calls them by name. And I think the indication would be they could respond by calling him or her by name. They know one another, and they have confidence in one another. And so next slide, please. I have a goal, a simple goal, really, I think, in some ways for Hillcrest. And that goal would be for us to be a place where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. How can that happen? I've got to admit, there is a practical problem involved in actually having this be reality. When I was growing up, I grew up in a small church, maybe 90, maybe 100, fluctuated. I think at one point it may have been about 120. But being in that small congregation, where basically the same faces showed up week after week, small farming community, we knew everybody at church. And everybody knew everybody. For a kid growing up in a congregation, that can be trouble. Because you have a lot of moms and pops, a lot of moms and dads, who know what Terry Brown is doing on the front row at church or around behind the church building afterwards or whatever. But there's also something very wonderful about being called by name by all the people in the congregation, being known. But now, we're in a congregation of maybe 800 or so, maybe 900. There's a great difficulty in knowing everyone. I guess as I'm standing here this morning, I think of one person in this congregation who virtually knows everybody at Hillcrest. And he's not here today. That's Alan Clute. I mean, Alan can tell you the names of the father and the mother and the three kids in a family. He knows a large percentage of names. And I admire him for his commitment to doing that. I want to say before I go to sort of the last thing this morning, which is going to be practical ways, hopefully, that we can improve on this or carry this out. I want to say why it's important, I believe. I believe it's important for me to know you, so that I can be involved in your life, so that I can have an impact on your life. But I think that comes all the way back around in the same way. It's important for you to know who I am, me, so that you can encourage me, so that I can feel your love and your care and your concern. And so knowing one another leads to mutual edification. It helps us grow together to be the kind of Christians that we need to be. It was said this week when I visited one of our brothers from this congregation in the hospital. And I think I know why he said it, but he said, how do people exist without the church? I think he said that because I was one of multiple people from his home church family, Hillcrest, who had come to see him that very day. And it just reemphasized to him how important it was to have people who cared about him, who could encourage him, who could be praying for him, who were concerned about him as a Christian man and his welfare. So why is it important that we be a place where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came? Because we need each other. We need each other. Last slide. What can we do to improve on this? In a congregation where there are lots of faces, lots of people, maybe many, if you were asked this morning to say, well, who is that over there? You'd have to say, I'm sorry, I don't know. So, on a practical level, how do we make this more reality? First of all, the first thing is it takes commitment. I must want to know you. I'm never going to know a wide variety of people in this congregation like Alan does, for instance, unless I want to. That has to be important to me. If I don't care, if I don't care, I just want to come to church, sing my songs, spend my time here, and then go home. If I don't care whether I have any relationship with people, then I'm not going to expand my knowledge of who you are. And so number one, you have to ask yourself the question, do I really want to know others? Do I really want to get to know the people of this congregation? As I'm standing here, I'm about to start talking about some practical ways that this can happen. I just thought of another one because I was looking at Marion Rowe. Marion Rowe was in our life group about 2 years ago, I think it was. And she left us. She left us to be in another group. And she's done that every time. Because she made a commitment that she was going to be in a different life group every year so that she would expand her relationships with many different people. That's one way. If you're involved in a life group, as much as those people may miss you when you're gone, you may be benefiting some other people by going to another one next year. But here are the other practical things that I didn't have on the, that I did have prepared. First of all, make a workable plan. I mean, we have to work at it to some degree. And the first part of the workable plan that I'm thinking of is introduce yourself to one new person every week. I'm not sure I do that. I meet some new people quite frequently, but if we would make it, sort of make an effort, we see somebody and we think, that person must be new to Hillcrest or that person must be visiting Hillcrest, I need to meet them. I was in, this goes back many years ago, probably 50 or more. I was at Lubbock Christian College as a freshman. I think it was the second semester, and I was standing with a girl named Gail, but it was a different Gail, who was my girlfriend at that time. The Gail McKinney that I married didn't come till the next year, but this girl was from Dalhart, Texas, and I was enamored with her, and we were standing in line in registration talking, and all of a sudden, she said, introduce yourself to that boy behind you. Because she noticed that he was evidently going to be a new student at LCC and was all by himself. And we were having a jolly good time talking there. And she thought someone should be friendly to him. And I went, I don't want to do that. Well, the next thing I know, she goes, "Hi, I'm Gail Carruth." And then started shaking his hand, and I was like, "Oh, my goodness." She was pushing me, really, on that day, maybe out of my comfort zone, but also I wanted to have her all to myself, I guess. But it may not be easy for you to introduce yourself to a stranger. But maybe think in your mind, this is my brother, this is my sister, I just don't know them yet. So, number one, as part of a workable plan, make an effort to speak to some people that you haven't spoken to before. It might have a great impact on them and you. Number two, once a month, sit in a different location. Once a quarter, visit a different class. This may take dynamite to get people to sit in a different place. Steve Conley told me yesterday that maybe we could draw up a seating chart where we force people to go and sit in different places. But Gail and I have made that seat over there sort of two rows back behind the Pruitts, where the Pruitts sit every Sunday. We have sort of made that our home territory. I can look around and I know if certain people are here because they're in their spot. And I know it might be uncomfortable to move from over here, Ray, to over there. But I'm saying maybe do it once a month. Sit in a different location and let other people see your face and speak to you and you speak with them. And I know that some of the class chairmen will not like that last suggestion of visiting a different class, but from time to time it might be good to go into a completely different class and see a whole different group of people. Number three, how can we know each other? Well, we can be known for our activity and for the work that we do at Hillcrest. There are almost some people in this congregation, it's almost impossible not to know who they are because of what they do. You see them doing different things all the time, and you associate that name with that work. So become involved in ministry and in work here at Hillcrest and be known, because you're maybe on the serving line at LAF when LAF happens, or you're in there setting up chairs and tables when LAF happens, or you're teaching a class, or whatever activity it is that causes you to interact with people. I thought of another one I didn't have on the wall with the pictures here. We have a great tool. It's called the church directory, the pictorial directory. Make use of it. You see somebody at church and you think, who are they and what is their name? Well, it may take a while to search through and find them, but I do that from time to time, looking for someone. I think that's my last slide. Last note. And so I'm ending with those practical suggestions. We want to be where everybody knows our name. We want to be where people let us know they're glad we came. And hopefully the church will fulfill the words of that song. Hopefully Hillcrest will fulfill the words of that song. As we end this lesson this morning and sing a song of invitation, there may be some special need that you have in your life that you want to share with the people here in this congregation who know you and love you and want to pray for you. If that's the case, as we sing this song, you have the opportunity to make your request, your prayer request made known to this family. If you're not a Christian and you're ready today to make your commitment to Jesus Christ by being baptized into His kingdom, that opportunity is yours now also. Let's stand and sing the invitation song.